Okay, our next presentation, before I get to the next presentation, let me just quickly read some housekeeping. This is the second of three sessions in this end user experience track. After this presentation, there'll be one more presentation, and then there will be lunch served next door in room 214, and that is going to start at 12:25. We would also like to remind you that Wi-Fi is provided by the Shaw Center. It is not free. Information about how to log on to that is on page 7 of your conference program. If you need free Wi-Fi, it's available in the lower atrium. The conference presentation slides and audio are being posted to the conference website. If you have questions at the latter part of this presentation, please step up to the microphone as the entire presentation is being recorded. Tonight, at the end of all the sessions, there will be a wine and cheese reception in the exhibits, and attendees who have signed up for the Dine Around Ottawa will depart from there. If you have not signed up for that yet, feel free to stop by the registration desk as there are still openings. Finally, keep an eye on your emails. You will receive at the end of the event an email with a link to a survey, and please fill that survey out as it helps the organizers to plan out additional conferences in the future. Okay, so we have two presenters here. We have Ryan Thomas, Program Manager from CGI, and Jennifer Kothra, is that correct?
Yep.
From NIST, who's responsible for security testing, validation, and measurement. And they're going to be presenting, as you can see on the screen, FIPS 140-2 Security Policy Working Group, SBWG. Welcome.
Josh. Hi, everyone. Thanks for attending. I know there's a couple other talks going on that are, have a lot of interest. I just want to call out, first of all, that the security policy template that we are working for does have a focus on FIPS 140-2 for now, but we do see a lot of the work that we are doing that would lend itself to the new version of FIPS 140, which would be -3 based on the ISO. So a lot of the work that the group has done, I think, will be able to be brought forward to that new version of the standard when it does come out, right, Jen?
That's right.
We think it's going to be soon. So I'll just pass to Jen to read our mission statement.
So we created a mission statement for the group so that we could keep our efforts focused, and this mission statement includes the user, right? Because ultimately the security policy has to be used by the user, and it needs to be clear. There's information in that security policy that the user is going to need in order to configure and use that module correctly. So that's why the mission statement includes the user. But there's also benefit in having a template for the reviewers. If the information is presented the same way in every security policy and it's in the same location, we can gain some efficiencies there.
Thanks, Jim. Now, just a little bit before I go into the focus, so, my voice is loud. Okay. These are the objectives of our work group, and really we'll get into in a moment. But as some people might recall, there was a template that the CMVP released around 2011 or 2012. I think that's a little long in the tooth now. So our objective, you saw our mission statement, but is also to update that and to be able to distribute it to everybody to use, whether you're a vendor or whomever. We did put for the agenda that we'd be presenting the entire template, but what we found is that we have to focus on the hard stuff first. So we don't have the entire template ready to share yet, so I hope I don't disappoint anyone. But our current scope of focus is the hard stuff, and that's if anyone's done a FIPS validation as a lab or on the vendor side, it's really, number one, it's putting those approved, allowed, and non-approved algorithm tables together, the keys and CSPs that relate to those algorithms in a table, and then your services tables, both approved and non-approved. And then one of the new things that we thought would be important for everyone would be creating a mapping between the tables. So once again, we don't have the complete template ready for to share yet for everyone, but we do have these tables that we will be sharing soon. But we wanted to really focus on the hard stuff first, and they were hard. And so we'll see some of that, and we'll talk about some of that. I do want to recognize the contributors and the members of the working group. So I think we have Mark here today. So Mark Hansen from Intel. there's Mark. We have Matt Keller from CoreSec, Yi Mao from ATSEC, Bob Pittman from HP, myself, Richard Wang from Gossamer, and Jennifer, who's standing behind me, and you've gotten various feedback from other CMVP members, correct?
The CMVP team has been reviewing everything that the working group has been doing, which is why the CMVP is listed and not specifically me. I'm just the representative to the group.
Great. And we're looking for others to join, so please do feel free to come up to me or send me an email. You'll have my contact information at the end of the presentation. Let us know if you want to join. It is a lot of work, and we recognize everybody has day jobs. So if you do have an opinion or feel like you can contribute, please do reach out, and we'd be happy to have you. So one of the things that was very important when putting this document together, and specifically the tables first, is to consider our audiences. So when you're typically doing a FIPS 140-2 validation, your audiences to consider for the security policy is, of course, the product vendor. They're trying to demonstrate that their module conforms to the standard, and that's their way of communicating how they do so. You have the CST lab, which I happen to be a part of one, and we're validating conformance to FIPS 140-2. So we're reviewing the security policy and making sure it meets all of the derived testing requirements in addition to the implementation guidance. And then, of course, you have the CMVP, the CMVP, which is the cryptographic module validation program. They're doing the conformance review of the module, so they use the security policy to make sure that they can understand that and that it meets those various requirements that are applicable to it. You have the end user, and they're making product procurement decisions, and they implement the module. So they may use, for instance, the instructions on how to put the module into its approved mode of operation. They would be following those, and also they would need to configure the ciphers and so on. So the end user, it would be very important. It's very important to consider them when we're putting this template together. And finally, the security assessor or auditor, and something maybe we don't always think about, but once the product has been implemented, many times when an audit is taking place, they'll be reviewing of the configuration of this implemented module to make sure it conforms to the security policy. One of the things that the group actually did put together, it came very evident when we were trying to work together and to put these tables together, is that we couldn't find a single point where we could find all of these technical terms. And one of our group members, Yi Mao, volunteered and put this great document together, which is a draft definition of terms. And you would find these, but they're in various documents, such as the FIPS standard, the IG, different special publications. They're all over the place, and sometimes it's very challenging for labs, for vendors, even for the CMVP to kind of all have the same definition of the same terms. And our intention is to have that one-stop shopping, so we hope to release that document very soon. We're kind of having it reviewed by several parties to make sure when we do release it meets the intent there. So I already said one-stop shopping for these important reference of terms. Just a couple that we've listed here. So you would find these in the IG. You'd find them in various special publications, and we're trying to put them all together in one document. I do have an example here. I apologize if it's hard to read. I'm sure you'll be able to download the slides at a later time, but what we do is we look at the term like key derivation. The proposed definition is where we found what we thought was the most easy to read definition, and where we found it as per the date up there, January 2016. I'm sure that will get updated as we iterate this particular version of the document. So in key derivation, you would see IG 710 and D2, and then there were some notes there on how the reader could apply it to their module. So we do think that this is going to be a very helpful document, and we really want to give Yi a hat tip, as I put on the previous slide, for taking that on and starting it. And I think there'll be a lot of tangible value to both vendors and labs to kind of use this document as they fill out the security policy. One of the things we kind of struggled with, but are going to be very important, is to have some instructions, caveats, and assumptions on how to use the template once it's available and the various tables that we have put together. So we really want to make sure that we are able to list instructions, caveats, and assumptions. We also have some expectations from the CMVP. So as you may know, there's required information, Jen, I don't know if you want to comment on this, but we have required information like CAVP certs, modes, what is used by the module, linking references to the various tables, and then there's optional information, and optional information is more like presentation, the way that the security policy may look and feel, the format, the layout. So we don't, our intention is not to go beyond the requirements in the DTR or the IG. Our main focus is to, and our objective is to try to put the security policy based on the DTR and the IG and not at all go beyond them. I guess the other point is these are still very much a work in progress, right, Jen? I think we struggled a little bit with them, but...
Yeah, absolutely. And so just to follow on what Ryan said, we're going to put a template out there and we would like for everyone to use it, but, you know, the modules are all over the map. And so, you know, the template may or may not fit your needs exactly. So we want to give the authors some liberty in the presentation of that information as long as the content is there, the content that we need is there. So you can deviate from it, but then understand that, you know, perhaps the review efficiency may suffer.
Yeah, absolutely. One of the things we did establish early on, well, I guess it was recently, I misspoke, we did decide what the orders would be in the template, and we would first do the services table, then the keys and CSPs table, and then you'd see the algorithms table. And that's, we thought that was important just to make sure that we got that particular order in place so that when it would flow for the readers, it would start with the services, those services would map to the keys and CSPs, which would in turn map to those algorithms. We did put a couple of examples together. So here would be the approved algorithms table. I apologize if it's difficult to read, but you can see there we have the key or the index, which is the CAVP algorithm cert or the vendor affirmation statement for a couple of those there. And then you see the actual algorithm, the standard, the motor method, keys or curves, the use, and the important thing that we're starting to come upon is the reference to the service table. So this is our first draft. I think I have a couple more points. Oh, sorry. Yeah, absolutely.
Because the one thing I wanted to mention in this example table is that these examples are real. So if you actually wanted to see, you know, what the CAVP certificate looks like and then how it maps into this table, these are real examples.
Yep. Yeah, that's a good point, Jen. Thank you. So as I mentioned, there's the CAVP algorithm certificate. It's basically our index or key. Jen and I have discussed this many times. It's really important that there's in many instances you may have a module that may implement. You might have OpenSSL in your module, but you may not implement all the modes or all the particular ciphers that are in it. So we just want to make sure that this is from direct feedback from the CMVP that you indicate only the modes and functions that are actually utilized by the module, so callable at the API or that the module will actually provide a service for. We do see, I think, many vendors that don't necessarily follow that, and that's one of the points. Go ahead.
Yeah, so I just wanted to follow up on that, and that when we read a security policy and there are multiple modes and multiple key lengths, but only some of them are listed in the security policy, and there's no statement or clarification about the rest of them, it's not clear to us whether that was an omission or a mistake to include those other modes and key lengths, or if it's deliberately not being used by the module. So if it could be a comprehensive table saying this is what's used by the module and this is what's not being used by the module, that would help us greatly.
Great. The other point is the multiple algorithm implementations, and we're still having a discussion point on whether we should include them in the same table or if we should break them out into separate tables. And what I mean by that is, again, using a level 2 hardware appliance, you may have things that are in the firmware or software like a cryptographic toolkit or a library like OpenSSL, but you may also have a hardware acceleration card. And one of the determining points is we're still kind of mulling over is whether we should keep those in the same table or it's easier for a reader if we break those into a separate table. Say if you do AES, if there's a hardware acceleration card, AES is present and the box will actually offload that operation to the hardware acceleration card. Should we have a separate table that calls that stuff out? Here's an example of our allowed algorithms table. So here you see some of the key establishment and key agreement, key transport methods. In this particular table, we do have, so Diffie-Hellman as an example, we have the applicable caveat, and that's where, depending on the strength that it provides and its use, and again, you see the reference to the services table. Do you want to point there?
One of the things I want to comment here is in that Diffie-Hellman example, a lot of times we see two caveats. One is the encryption strength is 112 or 128 bits, but then there's another one that says less than 112 is not approved. And so what we've done in these tables is we've broken those apart, because a lot of times in the security policy it's all lumped together. So in these tables we've broken it apart. So this is the allowed version of Diffie-Hellman, and then when we show the non-approved, you'll see the non-approved version of Diffie-Hellman.
So as I mentioned already, it's used to address these key establishment techniques. One of the points of feedback from this CMVP is that they also want to see if the entropy source, NDRNG, if it's internal to the module boundary or external to the module boundary. It just helps them understand what this is, what they're looking at. Another example of where it might reside in this table is MD5. There's actually a dispensation where MD5 can still be used or considered allowed with TLS 1.0 and 1.1. Another important one is SHA-1 for digital signature generation. So 852 states that it's affirmed for use with TLS. And so that would fall into that allowed table. Our non-approved algorithms table, again, you see the same pattern, the algorithm use and reference. I see we're a little late on time, so we only have 10 minutes, so I'm going to go a little quicker because I know you want to share some of the do's and don'ts, well, mostly do's. But so with the, again, you can see some examples of the non-approved stuff, and that's pretty simple, and it would map to the services. Again, so just to put a couple of words around the mapping, we really want to make sure that we kind of have a cohesive mapping that makes it easier for the reader, from the algorithms to the keys and CSPs to the services. Still very much a work in progress. We do recognize there's a lot of folks out there that have done many validations, and we would appreciate if you want to come on board and help us with that. Some of the real-world challenges. So we did have Bob Pittman from HP. Actually, they do many, many module validations, and he volunteered to apply these tables to real-world modules, and we did find that that first time through was very challenging for Bob, but he did say that he kind of saw the light at the end of it, and going forward he believed it would be much easier. I kind of made a joke that it's, if anyone here, I think everyone here is probably familiar with the Matrix, it's like when you're looking at the code and you don't see anything, and then all of a sudden, I see the woman in the red dress, right? So Bob was kind of, the light bulb came on, and for Bob, and after going through that first time, he found that these tables did make sense. It made it very cohesive, very easy to read, but putting it through that first time was a challenge, because he had to make the linking, and it was very difficult, he said, for the first time going through. One of our objectives is also to find a balance and list the proper amount of detail for all of those audiences that I mentioned earlier. We don't want to go above and beyond the requirements. That's not our intention, but at the same time, we want to make sure that someone reading the security policy, there's actually some tangible value other than just that one-time review by the CMVP for the purposes of the FIPS validation. And we also, our other stated goal was trying to find that, or our challenge, pardon me, was to find that common point of reference for all the terms, and that's why we as a group put together that common terms, and we hope to release that very soon. Yep, go ahead.
And I just wanted to comment that one of the challenges that we face ahead of us is the definition of a service. currently, Ryan's favorite IG 3.5, provides a definition of service, and the result of that could give us a really long security policy and just, you know, an incredible amount of services. So if you have ideas or suggestions or comments, please send them to the working group of what the definition of a service should be.
We don't want to do 3.5 now, though, because that talk was on Tuesday, and I think it was about 2 hours we were talking about
right.
That. So at the CMVP managers meeting. So our current draft, so I've been, some of you may be aware, I gave a talk about the keys and CSPs tables at the last ICMC, and I put my work up on the CMUF user forum website, in specifically the SP working group, so a couple of those are there. They're a little dated now based on the work that the current working group has completed. So once we are ready to share these, which should be soon, we'll be putting them up there, and of course I'll send an email out, or please contact me if you do want to be notified once they're available, and I'd be happy to let you know where you can find them. So I'm going to pass to Jennifer for some security policy do's and don'ts, but they're all do's.
That's right.
Yeah.
So this is sort of a little bit, 5 minutes. I got
okay.
5 minutes. How many slides are there?
We've got 7 minutes.
Anyway, so this is guidance you can take today and apply them to your security policies today, and it could potentially help in the efficiency of the review, because then you won't get a comment on these sort of things. So make sure the security policy is marked non-proprietary. Ensure all your links inside the document actually work. Use the official algorithm names. So if you go to the CAVP website, you'll see the official algorithm names. That helps us tremendously. If you're using AES GCM, explain how it complies with IGA5. And for these particular ones, if you don't do these things, it will result in a comment and it will delay your validation. If you're using AES XTS, state how it is only approved for storage applications. That's just a statement. Just say in your security policy that it's only approved for storage applications. List the correct standard and make sure that standard matches what's on the CAVP certificate. So if you're using 186-2, make sure that you state that and make sure that it's on the certificate. If you're using 186-4, then state that. Some of the security policies we get are, they confuse the two. Indicate all the algorithm modes supported by the module. So this goes back to the previous comment where we said, identify what's used by the module and identify what's not used for the module. A lot of the vendors over-test, so they may test all of the modes of AES, for example, and then they only use two in a particular module. So make it clear to both the user and the reviewer which modes are used and which ones are not. The Diffie-Hellman private key lengths are expected to be shorter than that of the public key, so just make sure that that's the case. Make sure you describe the module cryptographic boundary. Don't make us guess. Algorithm tables must be consistent with the postings on the CAVP website. And this is a particular issue for me, because I do some of the certificate reviews. And so I do that double check to make sure it's consistent and accurate. So that's why you see this comment a couple of times in our presentation. And coordinate with your lab. Make sure that the company name, the hardware, firmware, software version, and the security policy is consistent with your submission. And I just want to make a comment about this one. So we are starting to use more automation, and we're having less human review. So, for example, your vendor name, does it have a comma or not? A machine views that as two different company names. And so at the moment, we're catching some of those things, so we don't end up with two vendor entries, and some of their certificates are with the vendor name with the comma, and some of them are without the comma. So I know it sounds like a very detailed, trivial thing, but it's important, because when users go to the website, what's the difference between those two companies? And then, if you want to help,
quick,
I talk fast.
Jen. Great job. So these slides will be available. So someone will be able to, you'll be able to download them. So don't sweat it if you weren't able to jog all those down. So if anybody wants to help, we really would appreciate some additional hands on deck. You can reach out to me, Ryan Thomas. Again, I work for CGI. My email address is there. It'll be in the slides, or feel free to approach me at any point during the rest of the remainder of the conference. Thanks, guys. Appreciate it. And if anybody has any questions, do we have time?
We have time for one question.
One question. Okay, and the answer will be?
The lucky winner.
Maybe.
Yes or no.
It'll be maybe.
Yeah, hi. I just wanted to thank you for that, the work that you're doing. But also, I was just wondering, you mentioned you're going to be presenting this policy, but will it go into an effect in the way that it'll become mandatory at some point? Is that kind of the end goal? Everyone would use this?
So when earlier in the presentation, the content of it will be mandatory, but the actual presentation, there can be some flexibility, right? What we're hoping is that vendors will just take the template, populate it, send it in, and then all the information is presented the same way, and it's in the same place. But that may not work for your module, right? Okay. You may have to take some license with it and move things around or what have you. But as long as you have the content in there, then that's acceptable.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you very much.
Great, thanks, guys. Sorry.
No, it's okay. Attorney, yeah, I understand it. Now, bing, bang, boom, bang, bing, 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 bing. All right. Hey. I have it on, it's all ready to go.
Okay.
Are you going to...
Great. There's
the clock. I will give you a 5-minute warning.
That's perfect.
I'm going to give a little... I have to give introductions.
Oh, okay.
And if we have 5 minutes left, we can take 3 or 4 questions. It sounds like people are going to start walking out of the room. Right. So, that's the problem.
Okay.
Yeah. Give people 30 seconds to sit down, and then we'll. How's your content? Do you have a lot of content?
No.
No. Okay. You have any? Think you have room for questions?
So I think I hope that you.
This is interesting stuff. I hope we have a chance.
Yeah.
Good. All right. Let's see. A couple more people coming in.